And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, dope?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together with Jalen and Jacoby, what is it that we do,
we
Jalen?
We give the people
what they want. So much to discuss today. Jalen, sometimes when you're an adult, you're responsible and you're mature, you have to realize when you were wrong. And I was wrong about something, Jalen Rose. I really thought the changes to the format in the All-Star game weren't going to change a thing. I really thought that, you know, resetting the score after every quarter didn't make any sense. And then the target score I thought was a cool idea, but I thought it'd be weird because they reset the score after every quarter. And I was like, you know what? Target score, time score, doesn't matter. These guys aren't really going to play that hard. I was very wrong about this. This is our first show since the All-Star game on Sunday night. And it was a competitive All-Star game. People were taking charges. You know, we got defense being played. It was amazing. Jalen, I'm going to say that this is the best All-Star game, the most competitive All-Star game I've ever seen.
Well, I'm not going that far, but I understand why people feel that way, because these are the level of this level of effort is what I was used to seeing when I started watching basketball.
Yeah.
In the All-Star game.
Yeah.
Like, imagine.
Say since 2000.
Yeah.
The most competitive.
So imagine there was a time in the NBA where you had Jordan and Pippen, you had the Showtime Lakers, and you had the Big Three Celtics. They were all in the league at the same time. Mm-hmm. Plus the Bad Boys Pistons. Okay. So when they competed, it was on another level. But this started to get me back to feeling like my childhood some. I can't front. I was sitting there thinking like the new format is great. And let me tell you a couple of things that I love about it. In the fourth quarter, when they reset the score, it was like playing a game of 21. How many people have played 21? Everybody,
every
right?
Single person.
So now that game has changed. That game is now 24 to pay homage to the late, great Kobe Bryant. Mm-hmm. That's basically what took place. So now it's a pickup game. See, it used to be an all-star game. Now it's a pickup game. And let me tell you the difference, all of you young people, and everybody that love analytics, grab your pen and paper. I want to teach you something.
Okay.
When you're in a pickup game, David Jacoby, and you're the
ultimate pickup analyst in the history of the world.
Yeah. Okay. I don't care if Larry Bird got the ball. When the game gets close and it's late, what are people trying to do?
Foul him.
Basket or a foul?
Yeah, foul him.
Every time, right?
Of course.
Did you see people trying to spot up and shoot threes?
No.
They weren't shooting no threes.
Oh, and there's actual numbers to back this up. It's like, I wanted to show you some things that came out of that fourth quarter.
Okay, please do.
Take a look at this. This is what happened in the
All-Star game. A lot of layups and dunks into the fourth.
Look at that field goal percentage. Went way down. Fouls went way up. Dunks. 48 dunks in the first three quarters. Three dunks in the fourth quarter. And look at the fast break points. So, Jalen, those numbers just illustrate what you were saying.
Correct.
And people always say, oh, we need to give him $10 million to the winner. There needs to be some sort of stakes.
No.
You know what? Back in when you were talking about in the 90s and the 80s, it was a pride thing. It was like, we want to beat you. And there doesn't need to be stakes for that to be competitiveness. And I felt watching the game that both teams wanted to win just to win.
This was the first time I watched the modern day All-Star game and felt like players were now trying to grow the game. There was so many times as a youth and then playing in the league that we all took pride on showing up every night, trying to grow the game, taking pictures, signing autographs, trying to get the TV deal up, trying to get the contracts up, trying to get the guarantees up, trying to get the shoe money up. And then I felt like that kind of got dismissed in the era of low management and big time salaries and popularity with social media. And so I'm glad you illustrated via the numbers what I saw via the eye test. And so let me break this down to you. When you're playing basketball and it's the best of the best, all of a sudden now people's weaknesses get exposed.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, Kyle Lowry was taking charges.
Yeah.
Because he was guarding Anthony Davis. Okay.
James Harden once.
He was guarding Kawhi Leonard. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So what else
he's
is he going to
block
do?
The shot.
That's what he does in the regular season, though.
Yes.
That's my point. His personality of play for his team, the Raptors, is what he was also doing in the All-Star game. And when you're in a pickup game, it's basket or a foul. And when you have an Elam score, which, by the way, they got that from the Big Three. The Big Three and the basketball tournament on ESPN took it from them, and then the NBA adopted it.
Yeah,
the target score. So now here's what happens when you have a target score. You ready for this? The refs can officiate the score. And I love that, too.
Mm.
So therefore, okay, you're up two. They're down four but can't win the game. Close call against you, charge. I want to give them the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I want to make this more interesting.
And let them do that. It's the All-Star game. It's not the NBA Finals, but it felt like the NBA Finals. It was so much fun to watch it for all the reasons you said. And another thing is, like, they don't need stakes to be competitive. Me, you, and I are competitive people. We'll compete over anything.
But it was more stakes. There were correct. But
we'll compete over anything.
Let me give you some more stakes. When you have the charities sitting in the 100 section, rooting for these multimillionaires to get them $100,000 a quarter.
Yeah.
Take it from somebody that raises money for a living. That's a dynamic shift change. If you could get $400,000 or $500,000 in a night.
It was such a good game. But there's something else I need to discuss with you, Jalen Rose. And that was Saturday night's dunk contest. A great dunk contest.
And shout out to LeBron trying to pull up that three when he knew that it wasn't no stakes. He tried to do a walk-off.
Fantastic dunk contest.
Yeah, it was.
It came down to a finals.
Yeah, it did.
50 in the final first round. 50 in the final second round. And then it came down to the third and final dunk, where Derrick Jones Jr. had a great dunk, got 48. And then Aaron Gordon jumped over the tallest man in the NBA and dunked it. And he got a 47. Was Aaron Gordon robbed in the dunk contest?
He was not robbed.
Oh, really?
He wasn't robbed.
Oh, really?
He wasn't robbed.
Really? Explain yourself, Mr. Rose. Dunked over Taco Fall.
You know who was robbed? We were.
Oh.
The fans.
Oh, I see what
the people. Everybody that had the chance to watch this dunk contest and was like, I have never seen so many 50s.
So many 50s.
Deservedly so.
Thank you. That's important. I've seen 50s sometimes. We're like,
deservedly more. Deservedly so. And this is why we got robbed. We shouldn't have left watching that dunk contest with controversy.
No.
That's why. Do you realize? Let me tell you, this is why we got robbed. There were so many 50s that night. You know the final two dunks were 48 and 47?
Mm-hmm.
Now, just think about that for a second.
And they were good dunks. It kind of felt like the judges were colluding to get to some sort of tie and then messed it up. It's like, guys, you don't have to collude to get to a tie. Just give everybody the score they deserve. You're the judges. You don't have to do any side hustles.
So
it's fine.
I got to point out a few things. First off, shout to Derrick Jones Jr. representing the number 5 in the lefties to the fullest. Now he's about to be about that Puma life. That's how you get big deals, young man. You put on the show. Okay? And Aaron Gordon, I was about to tweet right afterwards that he will not be in the dunk contest
again.
And he
came out and said it.
Because I try not to be the emotional analyst that's always tweeting all of the time, lively, when sporting events happen. I just think that that's lame. But here's the thing that I want to make sure I stress. Dwayne Wade is a member of the Miami Mafia, everybody.
Yeah.
And I know he wasn't the only one to give a 9.
Oh, I was supposed to. Yeah. Oh, my bad. Yeah.
Tell y'all for years.
You know, I was supposed to.
And they set D-Wade up. Here's why. Because Candace and Common gave 50s. So now Scotty's sitting on the end. They show his 9. Then they show Black Panther Bozeman's 9. And so now D-Wade is last.
Yeah, he should have switched it up real quick.
Right? So now D-Wade is last.
Take a timeout.
So it makes D-Wade look bad. You see what I mean?
Yes, it does.
It looks like that he fixed the score for his man.
Which you just said he did.
He was almost forced to. Why didn't he stop it? Stop the fight. How many times were you watching this saying, stop the fight? Aaron Gordon got 5 straight 50s. He knew. When he took off his shoes, young people, follow your first mind. Follow your instincts.
Your first mind.
Follow your instincts. He took off his shoes, Jacoby. He's like, I'm done. I got 4 50s. Like, the shoe is dropped.
Yes.
It's done.
What do you want me to do? Get another 50?
He puts back on his shoes and go gets another 50.
It's also like D Book was a little bit like that in the 3-point contest. It's like, oh, you got to make me go out and then put up another score? Like, I got the high score. How come I don't have the trophy?
So the NBA robbed the fans of a great slam dunk contest closure. There should have been joint winners. They can't get a second trophy.
It was a great All-Star weekend, though. It was a fantastic All-Star weekend.
Both of those guys should have been holding up trophies.
Yes, we just got to get rid of the skills contest. I don't know why we have the skills contest. I don't know why. Thumbs down, bounce passes. That's what the people want. Are you giving the people what they want?
Here's what I don't want to see. I don't want to see NBA players trying to hit each other ball out of the air. like, come on, y'all.
Jalen Rose, the Rockets are really about the small ball lifestyle. They are doubling and tripling down on this ever since they traded Clint Capella. They really don't have a true center on the team, and they have a lot of switchy wings. They got two more. Jeff Green just signed a little 10-day contract. Damari Carroll, both will now be in Rockets uniforms. Jalen, what does this tell you about their philosophy moving forward?
I would never disrespect an NBA veteran, so I'm glad that both of these guys got picked up. I think that they can add value. Jeff Green was playing quality minutes in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a plethora of guys that can play minutes up front that just wasn't a fit there at his age. I'm glad to see him get another opportunity on a playoff team. Same with Damari Carroll. Anytime you bounced around to a couple of teams, it's hard to get that staying power. And all of a sudden you regain footing with Houston. Hopefully they can find ways to contribute and play quality minutes. They won't be game changers for their dynamic at all. There was a reason why that the other 29 teams at this time felt like that they didn't want to pick those guys up. But I think that they could be positive contributors, in particular Jeff Green in the locker room because he's a quality veteran.
He really is. I'm just fascinated with what Daryl Morey is doing here. You know, because if you're the owner of the Rockets, tell me for Tito, and you're like, Daryl, so we traded Clint, and everybody on the team is about 6'6". What's the plan here? What's his answer?
So here's the answer, David Jacoby. If I don't have a dominant big, why have one? That's really all it is. It's not.
It down like that.
So many people are overthinking this. Like it's owning who you are. It's a life trait. Like so many times we look in the mirror as human beings. We don't see ourselves. You see your agent. You see your manager. You see your representative. You see somebody that's going to make excuses for yourself. Sometimes we don't really own our strengths and weaknesses. The Rockets looked at their squad and said, okay, let's look at the landscape of the West. The Lakers, the number one seed. Who are their big men? Oh, Anthony Davis. What was he just doing on Sunday?
He's in the All-Star game.
Okay. Denver Nuggets. Jokic, what was he doing on Sunday?
He was in the All-Star game.
Okay. So these are like really great bigs in the league. These ain't like just no average dudes. Montrezl Harrell might win Sixth Man of the Year.
Yep.
He's a really good finisher around the bats. Rudy Gobert, what's he doing this Sunday?
Did he go on vacation? Oh, no. He was in Chicago, All-Star game.
Okay. So if you don't have a big, and by the way, I'm going to tell everybody right now. Let me be a person to say this on wax. Clint Capella going to ball with the Hawks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Trae Young. I love that combination.
You think he was catching lobs from James Harden?
Oh, yeah.
James Harden clears it out and takes 35 dribbles. Okay? Trae Young will pull up from 35 feet. That changes the whole dynamics of the court to the point where him and Collins about to just be catching crazy lobs. And people going like, what's wrong with the Houston Rockets? Why didn't he kick Capella? He wasn't the best fit in the Western Conference going against those top tier teams. And this allows Russ to play more like a forward. This allows him to have driving lanes, to play on the post, to play 15, 18 feet away from the post. I like it a lot. We'll see how it plays out.
Jalen Rose, you and I had the honor of joining one of the most historic franchises in the history of the sport of basketball. I was so proud to wear across my chest the team name. And you, as my coach, it was such a great
day. You represented, dog.
And of course, what team am I talking about?
The Washington Generals.
The Washington Generals, wearing the green and yellow of the Generals, a team that I've been watching since a child. And you always talk about, you just said, like, who do you think you are, your representative? I'm a Washington General for life. So you always say that there's no footage of me playing basketball. Well, we got some footage of this General performance.
Oh, really?
Yesterday. So we're going to go to the table and check it out. Let's go to the table. Oh, yeah. So, Jalen, it wasn't a great performance from Jacoby.
I disagree.
It wasn't a great performance from Jacoby.
Wasn't great.
Let's start with some of the lowlights.
You look good.
I'm checking in.
You got a flat butt.
So right there, look. I'm D'ing up on Hammer. That's Hammer right there. That's Shark's my guy with the dreads. And they introduced me.
Jacoby, protect the rim.
Now, see, listen. That was a good ball fake. And then this is my baby hook.
I thought it was in.
I really thought that was in. And there's my coach upset. And there's one play that we didn't show.
Hold on. I got to represent my brother a little bit better than this.
What?
Those highlights didn't truly do you justice. Jacoby got a great fast break.
Oh, we got some good highlights.
We got some good highlights too. Okay.
So here we go. Look. That's a flagrant foul.
So
I went to the line. First free throw. Money. And then there, it's all good. You know what? I didn't want to blow out the Globetrotter, so I missed the second one intentionally.
Look at this dime. Oh, dime. Look at that dime.
Oh, look, they had to call timeout. The Globetrotters had to call timeout after that play. They had to call timeout. We had all the momentum.
Can I tell you some of the greatest notable things that happened that would never show on a stat sheet?
Oh, so yeah. Deeper in the box score?
Let me go deeper in the box score for my brother. You get a chance to hear me analyze so many other basketball players. Let me go deeper in the box score for my brother.
Let me hear it.
Number one. You ready for this? Lovely wife and three kids sitting on the wood.
Oh, of course.
Could have tripped the referee.
Big shout.
How about that?
Shout taking care of my family.
How about that?
Oh, yeah.
How about the David Jacoby dressing room at MSG?
Oh, yeah.
How about your dressing room, dog?
Oh, it was bigger than my apartment.
Jacoby had a big dressing room.
He had two couches.
He had his own bathroom.
A table.
Yeah, with a shower. Oh. You know what I'm saying?
Treat me like a king. And also, I'm great for the culture.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Locker room guy, bigging everybody up. And I also want to say, and I'm being dead serious about this, Jalen Rose gave a speech to the Generals at halftime. It was heartfelt. It was motivating. It really hit home for these players. And they were just like, man, Jalen was saying, listen, you guys really love the sport of basketball, and you're passing that love on to all the children. You're making an impression. And I know that people come to see the Globetrotters, but there is no Globetrotters without the Generals. And you guys are basketball players and professional basketball players. You love the game. It was really well put. And as a general wearing the uniform, I really felt it. And there was also a performance that you had right at midcourt with my man Hammer. Just called you out to midcourt, and then he put your shoe back on, and then you guys started dancing. It's really romantic. And then remember, Jalen Rose is not a light man. You're not a small human being. And when he finishes it, just lifts you right up in the air. God, look at that. Look at that camaraderie.
Initially, I was thinking, should I just relax and lay there? Because if he dropped me, I don't feel like hitting my hair right now. I just really don't feel like this. It's dark, so people probably won't really understand what just happened. But shout to the Harlem Globetrotters. Mm-hmm. Shout to Hammer and that squad. Shout to the Washington Generals. And this gives me a chance to say it's important if young people are passionate about sports to get them involved. So many times, I want to make it to the NBA. I want to make it to the NFL. It's more to the game than just playing in those two leagues. These people get paid to play basketball. They get a chance to see the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They get a chance to entertain people. And
there
also,
was a crowd. There was 9,000 people there. It was full.
Yo, let me tell everybody where this game was. This is at MSG. Okay, this wasn't no high school gym. Okay, it was as many people at the Washington General Harlem Globetrotter game that be at the Knicks games these days.
Oh yeah, for sure. There's more energy in the building. Okay. There's definitely more energy in the building. And better basketball on the floor.
And lastly, the skill that they displayed. You know how much time, energy, and effort and man hours go into. Tell them about your practice.
Oh, we went to practice. I don't know how to say this. Some of the plays might be predetermined at the Globetrotter game. And they practice, but when I grew up and we watched the Globetrotters, it was kind of like pudgy white dudes with mustaches. They kind of looked like scrubs. The Washington Generals are bona fide professional basketball players.
They can ball,
These
man.
Dudes can ball. They got a 7-footer. They got wings that can shoot. They can ball. They're all ballers. Like, these guys are not scrubs. It ain't like it used to be.
Not at all. And also entertainers. And the other thing is, don't sleep. The Harlem Globetrotters were the first brand to institute the 4-point line.
Yeah.
And they got guys that be knocking them down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Dizzy. They had Dizzy, he was like 3-for-6 from the 4-point line.
And he was, I was like,
And I leaned over to the actual Washington coach Generals coach, and I said, how many of those has he ever hit in a row in the game? Because, like, he pulling up way too easy.
One of the generals goes to me, he's like, yo, the score can get out of control.
Yeah.
Get out of control.
They was like, he done made 17 in a row before.
Yo, but I got to say something, man. Just a tough loss. We're up by four with, like, 90 seconds left. Up by four.
And Hammer got hurt, and he came back.
He came back with a shoulder wrapped up. And I also want to say something as my coach. How come he didn't play me in the second half? I didn't play a second.
Oh, you gonna be that guy?
Look,
okay.
We were down by a lot. They were on a run. Okay. You saw that dime I threw.
Okay. See, what you don't know.
What?
Like an angry parent, like an angry mate, Joey Jacoby comes over to me.
Oh no.
Why didn't you play Jacoby in the second half?
Why didn't I get in the second half?
And I didn't tell her. Well, I'm about to tell you.
You gonna hurt my feelings?
No, I'm just gonna tell you from a coaching perspective what happened.
Okay.
What had happened.
They were hitting 5-point shots.
You got into the game. I got you a post up. What happened on that shot?
Oh, it just didn't go in, man. You know it shoots 100% from the field.
Okay, now, you're supposed to do a dribble handoff.
That was a perfect dribble handoff. I got knocked over. Look at that. Bang, bang.
Okay.
That's 15. LeBron can't do that.
Okay. Then you missed another
look at
shot.
That. Dime.
And
ooh.
Then what about ooh. Oh, you're talking about dime.
Dime.
What about the dime somebody dropped you underneath that same basket?
I didn't see that footage.
Butterfingers, it went through your hands.
I didn't see that footage. I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, I want to say one more time thank you to the Harlem Globetrotters establishment. Time. But I'm in Washington General for life. For life. Just got off a cross-country flight, and anyone who travels a lot knows that it can get to you, especially when you're older and you're washed like me. It can make you tired. Well, guess what? You don't have to be tired when you travel. Do you know why? Because whether you're on business or on vacation, a 5-hour energy shot can help you stay alert and energized wherever you are headed. I'm pumped right now. Why? Just hit up a 5-hour energy shot. 5-hour energy helps you get through your crazy on-the-go life. It has zero sugar, 4 calories, and a convenient portable size. It is the perfect pick-me-up for busy, hardworking people. And now it comes in 2 great extra strength tropical tastes. Strawberry and banana, banging. Tropical burst, delicious. They're so good. And now you can have a tropical on-the-go energy experience. Try them both, then go online to shop the number 5hourenergy.com. Again, use the number 5 and then write hourenergy.com. Use the code Jacoby, J-A-C-O-B-Y, and you get a one-time 10% off offer from your order. Again, go to shop the number 5hourenergy.com. Use the promo code Jacoby to receive a one-time 10% off your entire order. 5-Hour Energy, energy on the go. Myles Garrett. Ugly incident on the field against the Steelers where he ended up with Mason Rudolph's helmet and hit him in the head with it. He was suspended indefinitely. That indefinite suspension ended in the offseason. And then he told our friend and colleague Mina Kimes that Mason Rudolph used a racial slur against him, which is one of the things that led to his violent reaction. And then Mason Rudolph denied that. And then Mike Tomlin went on First Take and adamantly defended his quarterback. What do you make of all of this back and forth about what was or was not said?
So, I've been doing this job for ESPN since 2007, and I've been covering the NBA Finals since 2002. So I'm almost 20 years in the game. And being a truth teller gives you credibility. And saying your honest opinion, hopefully, is something that people appreciate and value.
Mm-hmm.
As somebody that saw that incident live, and I'm not here to in any way, shape, or form take sides for either one of those men because it was something that happened in the spur of the moment. Either one of them didn't wake up that day and feel like that was going to happen. That was not premeditated. But based on all of the body language that took place during the incident, I believe had Mason Rudolph said what Myles Garrett claims that he said,
mm-hmm.
he would still be holding his hair and his helmet in his hands.
Mm.
I truly believe that.
And we do not know what was said on the field. We do not know, but we can infer what we think based on the information and evidence that we have.
Now, you've seen Kangaroo Jaylen, so you know I can have a gut.
Yeah.
And my feeling tells me in that he's over-exaggerating, in my opinion, what might have been said based on what he heard. Because had Mason Rudolph said what Myles Garrett claims, I truly believe he would not have ended up on his backside getting pounded by Pouncey.
Well, I mean, also, it could have been corroborated by another human being besides Myles Garrett, which it has not been up to this point as far as we know.
And also, that is something that it goes clearly bigger than sports. And so I hope that Mason did not say that. And I am also doing the same with wishing that Myles Garrett is telling the truth here. But being asked this question about Myles Garrett's claims, I will have to deny them. I will have to deny them.
We will never find out exactly what was said.
Oh, yes, we will.
We will never find out exactly what was said because, well, we'll see. Then I guess we'll update the story then. We have another story now. NFL reporter Larry Fitzgerald Sr., yes, the wide receiver's dad, reported Friday that the soon-to-be Las Vegas Raiders are willing to offer a gentleman by the name of Tom Brady a 2-year, $60 million contract. Jalen, two questions for you. Number one, do you think Tom Brady could play for the Raiders? Number two, how much do you think money and salary plays into this decision that he has as a free agent?
You're my brother and you know this. I got some owner's numbers in my phone. Mark Davis is one of them.
Oh, really? And what about his barber?
You always get on him about his hair. And he flies Southwest, too.
Okay.
That's an investment. It's bigger than football. If you don't give him that type of money. How many teams played in Vegas this year?
Zero.
Or the past 40,
forever.
50 years?
None.
In the NFL?
None.
Okay. So if you want to bring a team there, you got to have some cachet.
Yeah.
What better way to do it than with the face of the football, face of the NFL?
The GOAT.
And Tom Brady.
What everyone considers to be the GOAT quarterback of all time, just take the GOAT and bring him into town. That's how you open up a stadium.
And by
the
way,
that's how you communicate to a fan base
correct.
That you're trying to win.
And
put on a show.
This is what they did with John Gruden.
Also, where do washed up artists go when their career starts to fizzle?
I like what you
Las
did.
Vegas.
Residency
got a
in Vegas.
Residency in Vegas. Come on, Tom.
I like what you did there.
Well, we'll see what happens. Something tells me this won't be the last time that we update Tom Brady's free agency status. This one's interesting. Heisman winner Joe Burrow is expected to be selected first overall by the Cincinnati Bengals. When asked about that, he had something very interesting to say. Here's what he said about the upcoming draft. He said the following, quote, "I do have leverage." The Bengals have their process, and I have my process. We haven't gotten to the combine yet. There's a lot of things that happen leading up to the draft and a lot of information gathered. Now, he didn't go out and say, I don't want to play for the Bengals, but it's interesting to bring up leverage, to bring up that they're not at the combine yet, to bring up that a lot can happen before the draft. Jalen, am I doing the media thing by reading too much into this and saying, that sounds like someone who does not want to play for the Bengals?
I'm really fortunate to be somebody that got drafted. And by the time I got picked in my own mind, I would have went anywhere. They could have been like 13th pick to Yugoslavia.
The Westchester Knicks.
I'm like, I'm on my way. Yeah. I'll be there tomorrow. I got something to prove because I felt like I was lottery talent. And I felt like I was top 7 for sure. But my situation is different from Joe Burrow because he's projected to go number 1.
Number 1.
He just won the championship and the team that holds that position is also where he grew up. Okay. Remember, he started at Ohio State.
It's a good point.
And then he left. His father came out like, hey, we'd love to go to the Bengals. That's the family. But the player like, I don't know if I want to play at home. So let me read between the lines for you guys. Let me take you behind the curtain.
Oh, take us behind the curtain.
When he says the draft process hasn't started yet and there are going to be some things to come out later, that's what's going to come out later. I don't want to play for them.
There you go. A lot can happen between now and the draft. It's like me saying, I don't want to play for them.
And
everyone brings up who when it comes to a quarterback not wanting to play where they were drafted.
Eli Manning.
Everybody brings up Eli Manning. It's like almost like the Eli Manning rule. His legacy is not going to be the 2 Super Bowls that he has against the Patriots. It's going to be, no, I don't want to play for the Chargers.
But let me tell you the difference between he and Eli Manning. The last name. So
He was able to do that and still progress to be a great player and not have the media dog him about it. If Joe Burrow decided to do that in today's climate, it would leave a stain on his reputation, but it wouldn't matter if he goes somewhere else and he ball out. Because that's all we care
that's
about.
All we remember. All we remember is that Eli Manning didn't want to play for the Chargers.
Got advice for Mr. Burrow.
What's that?
Like Suge Knight at the Source Awards.
Come to Detroit. Come to Detroit.
I thought we were two.
You want
a Tua to a gang?
We either one. No. You want to come to a team that ain't won a game, ain't won but one playoff game in 60 years. You want to come to a team that'll get rid of its best cornerback to possibly draft another quarterback that's cheaper versus having two lockdown corners? Come to Detroit.
I don't love this sell.
You want to come to a team that its best running back retires early?
Oh, because the best wide receiver also retired early.
The coach wants to give him a fullback? Come to the Lions. You want to come to a squad that has a wide receiver like Megatron that in his last game, Aaron Rodgers throws a 60-yard Hail Mary and Megatron just drops to his knees and then the team keeps his bonus? Come to the Lions.
Jalen, let me give you a much better sell for Joe Burrow and the Lions. In all personal and professional processes, where do I like expectations?
Get low.
The expectations could not be lower if you're going to Lions. You can win two regular season games and they'll give you a statue. They'll throw a parade. If you start the season 2-0, they will throw a parade. They'll name the stadium after you if you start the season 3-0. They really will.
I'm going to tell you who's going to lead my Detroit Lions to a parade down Woodward Avenue. Tua Tagovailoa.
The topics that we do or don't discuss in this program are so important to you. You really care so much, so we made you a segment.
Thank you.
Called Keep It Moving, where you get to decide. If you want to discuss the topics, you say hit the brakes. If not, me, you and Method Man jump in the minivan and keep it moving. Are you ready, Mr. Rose?
I'm just so very fortunate that I'm a part of a program that features the mighty Wu-Tang Clan member Method Man Constant.
I'll never forget the first time I heard Method Man. Jalen.
Yes, sir.
Someone cut Luka Doncic's eye.
Hit the brakes.
During the All-Star game. Hit the brakes. Well, here's what happened when he was asked about all the celebrities watching the game. Take it away, Luka.
So many famous people today on the court side. I was checking all of them. Is it intimidating? No, it was like fun to see, you know.
Who was the favorite celebrity you saw on the court? Who's your favorite celebrity you saw court
side? Cardi B.
Big smile when he mentioned Cardi B. Who is married?
So, Luca, I can't tell you how to get triple doubles at 21 years of age. Mm. I can't tell you that.
He's figured that out.
You got more in the first week of your career than I got in 13 years.
That's a good point.
I can't tell you that.
But
I can't tell you how to mousse that amazing hair that you got. I can't teach you that either. But here's what I can tell you. When she is married, she can't get the twinkle eye.
No, and a big smile.
She can't
get the big smile.
It doesn't work like that. Yeah. I want to introduce you to someone. His name is Offset.
Yes, he's of the Migos.
That is her husband, and you don't want those problems. You do not want to be in his verses for the wrong reason.
No, you do not. It will not be a shout out.
And you don't want to be looking over your shoulder when you come to New York or when you go to Atlanta. You do not want those problems.
No.
And I know it's all in fun, and I know it's going to be one person that hears my voice say, oh, he's just having fun. Guess what? I'm just having fun too.
Yeah. And Cardi B gave him a little shout out on social media anyway. It's all just fun and games. Moving on. Melvin Gordon has a destination for his former quarterback, Philip Rivers. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Hey, dog. We're going to talk about where these quarterbacks going over and over again. And if we could talk about it tomorrow, we can keep it moving today.
All right, we'll keep it moving.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
I have some news about the Detroit Lions.
Hit the brakes!
The Lions have spoken to multiple teams about trading cornerback Darius Slay. Jalen Rose, Darius Slay is probably their best player. Why would they trade him?
See.
Oh, no.
We're having a roar. See, these are the moments where I 1% understand your Die Easy fandom.
Thank you.
Welcome to the dark
this
side.
This is like,
just move on.
I would never do that.
Just move on.
I would never do that.
Yo, they're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, and you watch every snap.
I do.
I don't know why you do this like week 17 every year.
Because as Cubs fans and Red Sox, how sweet it felt when they finally won it.
Ain't gonna happen for the Lions.
Okay. But I have to say this. Only the Detroit Lions, my team that I love and adore, get a coach that's a defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm. From the Patriots.
Have
Patriots.
A top five quarterback and don't pay him.
Don't pay him. Gotta trade him.
Let me ask you a question. When you watch my squad play.
I don't watch the Lions play.
Do we have a top five player at any other position?
There's not a single other position on the field in which the Lions have a top five player. Maybe not even top 10.
And this baffles my mind. You trade him so you don't have to pay him. And then at number three, instead of taking Tua, they take a cornerback because he's going to be cheaper.
Just hoping that he turns into Darius Slay.
Because he's cheaper.
You take a cornerback just hoping that he turns into the person that you traded. It doesn't make any sense. The Lions are hilarious to me. I'm so glad you're a Lions fan just so I can make fun of you. Moving on. UNC basketball is kind of falling apart. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
I love big play Slay. You know, Just free him. Just move on. Just free him.
Move on.
Keep it moving, man. I don't even know what you said.
We keep it moving.
That is disgusting.
Jalen, there's a way that I can get into the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Hit the brakes!
Okay. They've opened up a super fan section of the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts. Shout out to Western Mass. And Raptors superfan Nav.
He deserves it. That's my guy.
He's in it. So should he deserve it? Should I stop my die easy ways and become a super fan with hopes of getting to Springfield one day?
Let me tell you why you could never be a super fan. You die easy.
I know, I can't. I just gotta be true.
So you're the exact opposite of him. So therefore they should open up something for people like you.
What's that?
Therapy.
You're not the first person to tell me that. Jalen Rose, baseball has a cheating scandal that just won't go away. By now, you know about the Astros and Altuve and crossing home base, but there's some new information. The latest is that Carlos Correa, Altuve's teammate, said that Altuve didn't want his shirt to be opened because he had a bad tattoo on his left collarbone. Altuve himself was asked about it, where he just kind of dodged the answer, not necessarily corroborating the story or denying it. Jalen, are they just making it worse at this point?
They're definitely making it worse, and their owner and Rob Manfred is also making it worse. Mm. It seems like every time they speak, they're digging the hole a lot deeper and insulting our intelligence and assuming that we should just forget about it. It wasn't such a big deal. It's only a piece of metal. It didn't affect the outcomes of the game. Like, these are ignorant statements. He didn't want to take off his jersey because he got a tattoo.
That's the last thing I'm thinking about when I'm rounding third. We're headed to the World Series. The last thing that's going through my mind is, please don't show my tattoo to the world. It's not what he was thinking.
This is a perfect example, though. Well, I despise liars and cheaters and manipulators because you continue to tell the lie so many times that you start to believe it's true.
Well, there's now players are speaking out about it. Mike Trout and Turner of the Dodgers and Nick Markakis went so far as to say that they deserve physical retribution.
They do.
And Vegas is taking on lines of how many Astros hitters do you think will get plunked this year? And the over-under is getting higher and higher. What do you think about sort of players' vigilantism when it comes to taking it out on the Astros?
Baseball is about to become the NBA, and they're going to start stopping it. Mm. That's what's going to happen. This is going to be the impetus of this is going to be where baseball starts to say, okay, we don't necessarily support throwing at the players anymore. And so now just think about how these players benefited now. Altuve won MVP in 2017. They won the World Series.
Yep.
They all got their paychecks the last couple of years. They all got immunity. They all got championship rings. And now the league is going to even stop you from throwing at them.
Well, Jalen, there's something on Twitter that was trending yesterday that I feel like we should discuss briefly. And that is a Mount Rushmore of rappers.
Ooh.
Now.
Controversial.
It is. And it's one of those sort of like those clickbait things that you got to, you know that's clickbait, but you just have to engage.
Controversial.
So we have to engage as well. Now, Jalen, Mount Rushmore is famously a side of a mountain that has four faces of American figures on it.
Who are they?
Ooh. I'm going to go Roosevelt, Franklin, Washington, Lincoln. That's my guess. I think I'm right there. I know you don't know the answer.
Nah.
And the Mount, we asked for your Mount Rushmore of rappers. And how many rappers did you give us on this?
I can't separate my Fab Five.
I can't. Of them.
It's five.
You got six up there. Because you got Biggie and Pac in your own little class there.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, so you got Biggie and Pac on like a different Mount Rushmore. Yeah. The Mount Rushmore, Mount Rushmore. Correct. And then you got, who else you got up there?
So, now, correct me if I'm wrong. Anybody that loves hip-hop and rap music the way you and I do, you give me those six people, I'm bars against anybody. Is that fair to say?
I had Rakim on mine.
Instead of?
Instead of KRS. But I love KRS. KRS deserves to be up there.
You can't break up Pac and Biggie.
Another thing is, like, look, we got bigger mountain. You know what? Maybe we can fit more than four faces on there.
First off, Jay-Z's only a billionaire and a mogul.
Yeah, spits bars.
And by the way,
innovative bars.
It's like it sometimes becomes an afterthought that he's kind of married to Beyonce.
Oh, that's right. That's a very good Mount Rushmore. Y'all can add us.
Marshall Mathers.
Find the show on social and hit us back and tell us why you're wrong.
Representing Jaylen. The D to the fullest. And Nas, Illmatic, my...
Jaylen, I want to revisit some of the events from yesterday.
Nas need to get more love.
Because one thing that we loved about our Globetrotter General experience...
I love you, Nas.
...is the interaction with the fans. You know what I mean? Watching those little kids boo you. So much fun being a general, being the heel. Just getting booed. Remember backstage, I got booed by like a whole grade school. But you look at you walking off. You're a little upset about being down. I mean, you can't get that kid in. Look at him. Look, he almost fell over. Look at him. He almost fell over, Jay. I thought you were going to be what they want.
I didn't see him.
I thought you were going to be what they want.
I didn't see him.
Come on now.
You know I would have gave him down.
That's not my coach.
Hey, I want the young man who I left hanging right there to reach out to this program. We're going to make sure we get him a hoodie.
Let's get him a hoodie.
We're going to make sure we get him a hoodie.
He can be on the show. He deserves something. Look, he almost
I got
over.
It. I got
Dad
it.
Had to push him a little bit. Oh, Jaylen. I want to thank the Globetrotters one more time for that experience we had yesterday. It was absolutely amazing.
We was losing.
We always say we give the people what they want, so we're not just going to give you the television show audio. We always give you podcast exclusive Too Hot for TV. We were both part of a great franchise yesterday.
We were, but I got to...
The Washington Generals. We're going to get to that baseball scandal and much more, but first, Jaylen Rose, what do you want to
get? I can't lie. I'm sitting here holding back tears right now. You know, the one thing about being a public figure is I try to pick and choose and protect my privacy as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, especially the people that are closest to me, you know, my family, my kids. We're dealing with a tough time in my family right now, you know. I lost my older brother, William Bill Rose. He unexpectedly died at 59 years old. And it's been like a really tough week. I think we're going on like a week since it happened. I haven't posted anything on social media. There have been a couple of posts that, like my assistant has done for me and, you know, just trying to process everything that has taken place and, it hurt. And, you know, when you're in my position, like a lot of times people don't see that you're actually still a human being. Mm-hmm. You know, you have vulnerabilities, you have losses, you have pain. But there's also a side of you that like still has to be a professional, still has to, you know, carry on William Bill Rose's legacy. And, I have to take this moment to, say I love you to his wife, Pam, who has done an amazing job, you know, representing my brother's legacy. To my nieces, Natalie and Chelsea and Courtney, his daughters. He was so very proud, Jacoby. He recently became a grandfather. And my brother, Kev, for those that don't know, I was born into a family. I had two older brothers and an older sister. And, you know, losing my oldest brother, it I feel naked because, like, he's my bodyguard, too. He was a voice of strength for me. He was really hardworking. He was really disciplined. It's been a tough time for me. I've tried to avoid seeing people, walking down the street in Detroit, you know, just for miles and miles, and just tears flowing down my eyes in the middle of winter. And the dynamic of being a public figure is crazy in situations like this, because there are times when there's tears coming down my eyes and then somebody recognizes me and want to come and talk to me or take a picture.
Mm-hmm.
So there's part of me that's trying to avoid them for obvious reasons. I just don't feel like I'm just not in the space to be doing that. But, I'm just trying not to be rude to the person as well. But in also being private, I'm not explaining to them,
no,
you know, why I'm in the state that I'm in. So I'm pretty sure there are 50 to 75 people walking the face of the earth right now that walked away from me with various reasons of why they ran into me and I was upset.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure they probably, you know, the things range from, you know, how people speculate. But, you know, it's really tough on my mom. I've seen my mother cry twice. And one of them was recently. And she told me that, it was not, she shouldn't be burying her kids, you know. And I have a strong family, my Uncle Lynn, my sister Tam, my nephew Troy, and my niece Tanae. And we joke on the show about naming people. Like, I know if I start naming some people, I'm going to forget.
Of course.
You know, the pallbearers that were at the funeral, it was heartbroken. It's heartbreaking. It really is. And I want the reason why I'm sharing this publicly is not for any other reason except for strength. Because now when you guys see me, If you thought I came through swinging bowls before, it's about to be elbows, knees, head, butt, all of that. Like, it now, like, put me in a space to where I feel like whatever sacrifices I need to make, whatever discipline I need to have, whatever focus I want to have, whatever goals or dreams that I aspire to do, failure is definitely not an option. It is not an option. And so I appreciate anybody that's ever given me love, given me support, and the same for my family. We appreciate the prayers. We appreciate everybody that sent flowers, everybody that flew near and far to come and support my brother. And he deserved it. He deserved it. He was a good man, and I know that has become something of a cliche sometimes when people die.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said when I spoke at the funeral, he's about to live through me and all of his family and friends. And I say this respectfully, but as the youngest brother, I say this purposefully. He ain't take SHIT off nobody. I had a real older brother, like, mm-hmm. dog, I need you to be here in 5 minutes. And he there in 3.5. And it don't matter where I'm at, what I'm doing. And I'm not even proud of some of the times I had to call him. And he was always there. And so that's why, you know, I haven't been here. That's why I haven't been posting. That's why you haven't seen me on IG Live. And it's been doing a lot of crying, been doing a lot of praying, doing a lot of soul searching. And I didn't want to come into work and felt like I would break down during the show. And so it hurts, though. It really does hurt. And I'm not going to hijack our program today. But it is called Jalen and Jacoby. And what we do here, hopefully, is provide therapy beyond sports to a lot of people. Like, we joke on the pod, we're going to talk about things we can't talk about on the television show. But what I've learned from the public, and I'm pretty sure you walk the streets, you know, mm-hmm. people take what we say and do as therapy. And we talk bigger than the box score. And so I love you, Jeannie Rose, my mother. Continue to stay strong, my entire family. But it is a tough loss. My brother Kev, we're gonna hold Bill down. We're gonna hold down his legacy. And I'm just about to be gorilla, whatever that means.
I like it. And you know, I just want to say thank you so much for sharing that with us, because I know that one thing, unfortunately, that everybody has in common is grieving and loss. Everybody has that in common, and everybody goes through it. And to hear you be so honest and open about how you're dealing with it and how difficult it is will help the people that are listening. Every single person listening to this right now will at some point experience a loss in the family or to someone close to them. And this moment and you sharing will help them through that.
Thank you, brother, because like in the last 10 weeks, 10 to 14 weeks, mom got diagnosed with cancer. They found a mass on her right lung. She did 7 chemo treatments, and she's doing well. And my brother was diagnosed with cancer. They found a lymph node in his neck, but it didn't proceed throughout his body. And he had taken a couple of chemo sessions and radiations. And, you know, he was doing well. And the last time I talked to him, I was in L.A. On a Saturday during the Kobe Bryant memorial, and we were talking about that loss. Mm. And so it's just been a whirlwind a few weeks, and it's just tough, but it's. It's definitely motivating me. It's motivating me. Good. And I know we need to start the show, but I had to.
Yo, we really appreciate you saying I love you very much on behalf of your whole entire staff. Anything you ever need, we got you. We discussed on the television show a little bit about the Generals experience, but I got to revisit this for our podcast listeners, Jalen Rose.
Okay.
The Washington Generals can ball. Like, these guys are professional athletes. They are not dudes off the street like they used to be. The Generals growing up, I remember the Generals growing up looked like Washington Generals. These guys, you could switch uniforms and they would be just fine. These guys could ball. And I got to practice.
Not a game.
I was in practice on time and I was a little nervous. You know what I mean? Like, we had to shoot 20 shots. The team had to make 20 collectively. I had 4 air balls. In practice, I probably put up like 22 shots.
Four air balls.
Wait a minute. And one of the generals went up to me trying to give me some tips on my form. It was embarrassing, man. It was embarrassing. I hit some shots. I hit like 5 or 6, but like,
it's impossible to shoot 4 air balls
without defense from like 17 feet. The depth perception is different, man. I don't play in the NBA.
It was at the Garden.
It was the Garden.
Yeah.
I was a little nervous. Yeah. It was the morning.
Yeah.
And I said, I got warmed up a little later.
And you used to playing with those. See, and that's the other reason, like, if and when I come and run with y'all, and that's my goal to do so, y'all got to get a better ball. That's a perfect example. You used to shoot with those crappy rocks.
Yo, I'm going to say this is I did drop a pass. I was wide open under the basket, dropped the pass. It was a little high, and the ball was slippery. I'm going to blame the ball. Ball was slippery.
Whoa.
Yeah. They must have switched balls at some point. Because I don't know how they do all that dunking and five-point shooting and all that. I don't know how.
Wait a minute.
Busted right out of my head.
But anybody that can hear my voice and know and love Jalen and Jacoby over the last 9 years, did y'all just hear my brother say the ball was slippery?
Slippery ball, man.
So we hear your basketball exploits, Jacoby, and you've gone out there and scored 0 points numerous occasions.
Man, I got one.
I never heard you say that.
Oh no, it's because I'm really sweaty. I messed that one up.
Thank
you. Let me say this. Yo, when I hit that first free throw, oh, so much pressure.
You needed that
because missing two after missing a baby hood.
You needed that.
I would. My kids just watched me the whole time without seeing the ball go through once.
Yeah, you needed that.
My kids, they wouldn't even talk to me when I got home if I missed all my shots.
But I can't front and shout to the Globetrotters, appreciate the love, shout to the Generals, and I'm glad you said what you said about Washington Generals being actual basketball players.
Professional basketball players.
For those that don't know, we all play the quote unquote heel at some point of our day, in some point of our lives. And embracing that gives you character.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are going to always be things that people can clown you about. You may think that you're perfect and your stuff don't stink, but there are always going to be things that people can clown you
about. There's this little kid holding a basketball, and he was looking at me dead in the eye while I was walking off the tunnel, looking at me dead in the eye. And I love kids, you know what I mean? I love kids. So I gave him a little tap on the shoulder, thinking, oh, look at the guy from the game tapped me on the shoulder. You know what he did? Looked at me right in the eye, thumbs down, and made a snarl at me. Like, they just don't like you because you're a general.
I know.
And you big it up. Like, you get booed. Getting booed by 8,000 people feels good.
Yeah.
It feels good.
Like, feels good being
and also being a general, you do a little acting, too.
Yeah.
You got to do a little acting.
You ready for this? There was a gentleman sitting on the front row. It just so happens to be my nephew, your son, Quincy. Mm-hmm. And all he continued to do was give me L's on his forehead. That's all he
That's
did.
That's what he did all day.
He even was rooting against the Generals.
And he got his Uncle Jalen's dad
right.
in the game.
he's just giving me L's every time I looked over to him.
Hey, we had an argument this morning. I did not get dunked on, Jalen Rose. I did
okay.
not get dunked.
Okay.
I did not get dunked on.
Okay.
Then, like, I've never been dunked on in my whole entire life, and that was not even close.
So I want to give people a series of plays of why Jacoby didn't play in the second half. Because his wife came up to me and she was not happy. She was not happy, Reg. And let me tell you a couple of the things that happened in Jacoby's game. When he first got in the game, he allowed him to throw the ball between his legs.
Jalen.
And then all of a sudden it ends up in an alley-oop dunk. Let me finish. That's one play. I'm talking from a coaching perspective.
Yeah, I get it. Maybe if you came to practice, you'd realize.
Right, from a coaching perspective. Okay. Another thing. Got it to Jacoby on the post.
Whoa,
versus Hammer.
Hammer. I was about to score on Hammer.
One-on-one. Jump hook. Missed it. It's fine. We missed shots.
I know, but not in the garden against Hammer.
But next time down. Hammer gets the ball at the free throw line.
Mm-hmm.
David Jacoby is standing in front of Hammer. I want everybody to visualize something. Hammer dribbles the ball is facing the basket, and he's dribbling the ball with his right hand. At first, Jacoby's in front of him. Then all of a sudden, Hammer hits Jacoby with his left shoulder.
Elbow, too.
In Jacoby's chest. It caves in.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes from being in front of him to collapsing like a folding chair. And Hammer dunks the ball really hard.
Did I leave the ground? Did I put my hand above my shoulder? No.
Well, you were slumped over. Like you had a stomach ache.
That's a big shoulder, big elbow. He moved me out the way.
Okay. Right.
It was, this is a big basketball player.
And Jacoby got another attempt at a shot in the paint. He missed it.
That's because my man had your shoe in his hand and put it in my face. I back-facing the basket.
you know, fundamentals. Get the ball right around 14 feet. I'm like, you know what? This is a little deep for a jump hook, but I can hit this.
And then here's a moment that made Pat Connaughton proud. Jacoby got it on the break. He led the break. He dropped a dime. One hand.
Just weaved one in between hand. Defenders.
One hand for the finish.
It's like Magic Johnson dunk. Mixed with LeBron James, mixed with Steve Nash, mixed with John Stockton.
But then, Reg, there's more. Then the next possession, we get the ball.
Jacoby. They had to call timeout.
They had to call timeout. The next time we get the ball, Jacoby does a great hustle play. Gets down the floor, right underneath the basket.
This one hurt.
But naked for a layup.
This one hurt.
Somebody drops him a dime, goes straight through his hands.
And then the coach and the general was like, they're trying to get you a bucket out there. I'm like, I know, coach.
Go straight through his hand. So at that point, I look over at his wife and his kids. It's like when you're watching somebody box. I stop the fight.
I'm surprised they didn't just leave.
I'm like, you know what? I just have to stop the fight.
I'm surprised my kids didn't just get up.
I got to stop the fight. So that's what I did. I wanted to protect my brother. So I stopped the fight.
Okay. All right, at least I didn't have no grown man pick me up.
I was trying to.
We'll be back tomorrow.
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.